There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
It's Monday, December 19th.
From inside the WTOP newsroom, this is the DMV Download Podcast, brought to you by Steamfitters Local 602. Get an estimate and learn more at steamfitters-602.org.
Today, Commanders fans are up in arms for a few reasons. First, their team lost yesterday in prime time on an official's controversial call. And then, the design of the team's memorial to a beloved player killed years ago fell flat. WTOP Sports Director George Wallace joins us to tell us why.
So every time they end up in the news for the wrong reasons, they do something for Sean Taylor.
And New Year's is right around the corner. Is this just another day on the calendar or a chance to start something new? We have a ton of thoughts and we discuss.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Megan Cloherty.
And I'm Luke Garrett. It was the most anticipated game on the schedule. These back-to-back games between the Giants and the Commanders played out last night in prime time. Not only did the Commanders lose, they lost on what many fans and head coach Ron Rivera say was a bad call by the refs.
We'll get to that infuriating game in a minute, but first to the controversy over the memorial to Sean Taylor. George Wallace is here with us, sports director himself. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Okay, for those who don't know, tell us who Sean Taylor was and what happened, just so we can kind of get a basis for before we talk about the memorial.
Sean Taylor was a safety, played for the drafted back in 2004 by the franchise, and was tragically murdered in 2007, and was on his way to becoming one of the best of, you know, it's tough to say how good he was going to be, but he was trending in that direction.
Incredible like future ahead of him.
Yeah, and to see his life taken like that, cut short like that, I mean, he left a tremendous impact on this franchise, on this area, in the D.C. area.
Yeah.
So very beloved when he at the time of his passing, and it was very tragic.
I remember I was in elementary school at the time, and everyone had to wear jerseys of the team, and there was a whole day dedicated to it, and there was like a mass dedicated. It was like a really big deal, I remember.
Yeah, and everybody wore the players for, I mean, they still do this. Correct me if I'm wrong. They wear 21 on their helmets when it's like Sean Taylor Day or something? Or
yeah,
that
they had a couple times where they honored him. Last year, they named one of the roads outside FedEx Field Sean Taylor Way, I think it was, and they wore the 21 decal. They did it this year as well. They did it when they put his name in the Ring of Fame at FedEx Field. So, yeah, they've honored him a few along the way. It's crazy. It's been 2007. It's crazy it's been 15 years. I mean, I remember like it was yesterday. I mean, it was just...
Because it was just so wild. He was in his house in Miami.
Yeah, break-in, right?
It was a break-in. He was shot in the leg and his femoral artery, so he basically, that was it.
Let out.
And he was injured, so that's the only reason he was home. Mm. I mean, he was not playing at the time. He was rehabbing his knee. So,
It was a crazy story. Anyway, but see, he was a beloved player of the team, and I think some people don't understand why the fan base is so attached to his memory. You know what I mean? I mean, I know it was a tragic loss, but I think that it's because he was at the height of his...
Yeah, and I think, and that's it, and that's where you have to be kind of be careful, too, because you hear a lot of that, okay, played for, only 3 years. I mean, how good could he have been? How, you know, that
prolific.
They celebrate him like this. But I think because of the kind of player he was, maybe the way this happened, and he was definitely on his way to being one of the greatest.
And so the Commanders, unveiled this memorial a few weeks ago, but there was some stiff reaction to it. I mean, just bring us back to that moment before we get to what happened, recently.
It was something, that's for sure.
You were there?
I was there. So, yeah, they said they were going to...
We're anticipating this, reaction.
Well, and that's just kind of the way that it was. And that's the way it's been for everything that they've tried to do to honor Sean Taylor. I mean... Last year when they did the road, I mean, they take a picture in front of porta potties, like with his family, and they put it on their social media.
So
it's, the jersey retirement thing. They announced it the Wednesday before.
And they gave nobody any time to get there.
Right.
Yeah.
So, everything they've kind of done to honor his legacy has just come up short. So they unveiled this project. Everybody thought it was going to be a statue. And to their credit, they never said statue, but everybody's kind of thinking that or hoping that it was.
Right.
And it's basically a mannequin. They unveiled it. It's like a wired mannequin. And it's like you'd see in a department store with his jersey and pants and cleats and a helmet. And the team's whole thing was everything's there. The only thing missing is Sean Taylor, but he's still there. Like the actual body, you know, their reasoning for all of this. Like, yeah, it's just.
But if you walked by it and you didn't know Sean Taylor's number, it would just look like it was like.
It was a modern uniform.
This is what the uniform is.
Correct.
So it was not a uniform Sean Taylor would have worn.
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was a Redskins uniform.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And it had, you know, and then they messed up. They had a Nike jersey and Adidas pants or vice versa. And, you know, he famously used to tape his face mask up with the white tape around it. He would, you know, it's not legal as far as NFL, you know, he got fined for it a lot, but
right. that was his look. Yeah.
And he taped his cleats a lot, you know, messed with different socks. So the fans were kind of outraged that none of that was on there. And then the jersey and the pants are different brands, which, I mean, you know, whatever
yeah,
that
I mean, that's
is.
Kind
that's
kind of nitpicking
but... because, you know, the NFL is a Nike thing and they had Adidas and, you know, whatever. So they changed that after the outrage from the fans.
So now it's taped up.
Now the face mask is taped, his cleats are taped, and the jersey and pants match.
Mm.
But it's sort of like...
Are the fans happy? Are they...
Who knows? I'll be honest, at this point, I don't think anybody is expecting them to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just sad. I mean, when they unveiled it, it was November 27th. I think it was Thanksgiving weekend. And they take this whole thing down, and they got the former teammates there, and Clinton Portis, and Santana and his family, and then it's a mannequin. It's like a, you know, it's a mannequin.
So, like, was
very
like
underwhelming.
They're expecting like a Uno. It was like a curtain, and everyone was just silent.
That's exactly what it was.
Oh,
yep.
That's sad.
And you know, Clinton Portis on record said, "Look, first of all, this should have been done, you know, however many years
2008,
ago, five,
at least.
Ten years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah,
you know, they're late on it. Or it my thing is, you don't have to do anything anymore. You don't have to do it. If you're going to do something like that,
right.
don't do it."
Right, well, I mean, like, do a bronze
have it done
statue.
10
I mean,
years
I feel like every stadium has a beautiful bronze sculpture of someone.
And yeah, then cynical Megan comes in from the back and says, "Are they just doing this because they are in such a bad way with morale and team support, fan support?"
So every time they end up in the news for the wrong reasons, they do something for Sean Taylor.
Mm.
Happened this year, the jersey thing. His family on the field.
Oof.
It's just weird, but that's just it. It seems like that's what they do. They trot him out when they need it.
Oh, man. Okay, so now on to the game, because there's nothing more to say about that.
Until they do something else.
Right. Then... Washington's team lost to the Giants. It was 20-12, so it wasn't a blowout by any means. But why does this feel like such a big loss?
Oh, it was the whole time we're sitting there, and it's, you know, the 7-3 game or 10-3, it just felt like so much more because Washington couldn't do anything. They had one drive at the end of the start of the second half. Finally got some sort of momentum going, but they couldn't do anything. And the problem is, they played them 2 weeks ago, and you had a bye week. And the Giants lost by 50 to the Eagles last week. It wasn't that many, but I felt like
a lot.
So you figure you've had a bye week to fix some things that you did against the Giants. It's a game you should have won 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you go 1-for-10 on third down. You turn the ball over in the red zone. Okay, the referee's at the end of the game. That's fine, but you can never... And I'm never a blame the ref kind of guy, but there are exceptions to the rule. Like, he was mugged at pass interference.
Mugged.
Like, yes, they should have had another play. But the other thing is too, even if they get the ball on the one, they score a touchdown, they still have to have a two point conversion. So it wasn't going to be tied automatically if they get that call.
In case for some just on the off chance that someone maybe didn't see that final play that we're talking about, can you describe it, please?
Yeah. So it was fourth down. I think it was 20 seconds left, and Taylor Heineke scrambling around. First of all, he should have thrown the ball a lot quicker, and that's a whole nother podcast.
Well, there was a delay of game earlier in the game, wasn't there?
Yeah. And he tried to make something happen, just threw it up for grabs kind of to Curtis Samuel, and the defender literally had his hands behind. Like, they were jostling for position, but it wasn't even – jostling's one thing, but this – he had his defender
like
had him wrapped up and – was pulling his jersey. I mean, it was just blatant.
And then the last second, let's go, and then kind of punches the ball as it's coming through the players.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you have to make that call. And the play before, they called Terry McLaurin for an illegal procedure where Terry McLaurin had, you have to be up on the line of scrimmage, and receivers when they line up, they'll look at the referee and the side judge, and they'll say, am I good? You know, because you got to be on the line. And the referee will give him a thumbs up. So Terry looked over, referee told him to move up a little bit, and then he looked over again and gave him a thumbs up. So he told him he was good.
The ref did.
Yeah, and then he threw the flag. So
on
Terry McLaurin. So that took off.
The replay is kind of bananas.
That took a touchdown off the board. So then they had they back it up, and then they had the fourth down. So it's one of two ways. You can't call that ticky-tack on Terry and then not call the blatant pass interference.
Right.
And I couldn't hear the television broadcast in the press box, but apparently even the head of, you know, the officials, they, you know, each TV crew now has an official in the booth to kind of go over rules with them. With the audience, and they were just saying, you have to call that. I mean, it's just blatant. So.
And it was just sort of funny, Ron Rivera, after the fact. I mean, he is very limited in what he can say.
Oh, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, against
the
officials.
Yeah.
And he was, like, right up on the line.
Oh, he was there. And he said, he comes in the press conference after, he goes, don't ask me about the officials because I can't answer the question.
Right.
And then he turned it around, and he goes, what did you see? And then someone said, Terry McLaurin said, you know, he looked over, he looked like he was good. He goes, that's what I saw. So Ron, he's going to get fined. He says anything. And players, too, all
against
said,
the refs, yeah.
Players said last night, too, we can't, you know,
you can't
I don't want to get fined.
Right.
But,
and the choice words he would have if he actually could say what he felt.
Yeah, but there were plenty of opportunities for them to win the game. And it's just unfortunate because it was one of the biggest games. I mean, they haven't had a primetime game at home like that probably in almost 5 years with that much on the line. And you come out flat, you look terrible on offense, and it's just not.
It's those big games. They just kind of always.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I mean, half the place was Giant fans, as always. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know.
Dang. So, ultimately, they lost. Where does that
they did.
Leave them?
They did.
Leave them as far as, you know, playoffs, the rest of the season?
Well, it's going to be a lot tougher now. And I think the Giants went from a 40 to 85% chance to make the playoffs. Washington's down to, like, 30% now with the loss. They're at 7-6-1, currently in the seventh and final playoff spot. But they know, if they win out, sure, but they're not going to win out. I mean, a tough schedule coming up. So, and Seattle and the Lions are right behind them by a half game. So, a lot has to happen for them now to get in.
Seattle Lions have to lose.
Yeah.
I have to ask you a question about Dan Snyder.
Here we go.
Do you think, I mean, given everything that's gone on with the pressure on him to sell the team, that he's going to make it through this season and then something might happen? Or do you think it's still possible with this NFL owners meeting that's happening soon that it could happen this season?
Oh, it's not going to happen this season.
No. Oh, selling the team.
Yeah.
No, the next owners meeting is in March. I think that'll be the
big
thing.
Oh, I thought they were meeting again to discuss
they had one last week.
Situation.
No, it was last week. It's not. Nothing's going to happen now. And there's only 3 weeks left. So
right.
I think you're going to see it. And the NFL doesn't really want that.
Looming over the playoffs or something.
Yeah.
They
want to
bury it and
yeah.
have no one pay attention.
Until after the Super Bowl, yeah. Oh, no, everybody's going to pay attention.
I was going to say,
don't worry about that.
You can't get it past us here in Washington. That's for sure.
No, everybody's going to be waiting for that. But I think the owners' meetings in March will be a, you know, next big one.
George Wallace, sports director, WTOP, all things Commanders. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up after the break, a hot take on New Year's resolutions and why it comes down to one word. Backed by the experience of its hardworking members, Steamfitters Local 602 is ready to take on your next commercial heating, cooling, HVAC, or refrigeration project. Steamfitters Local 602 adds value to our community through its partnerships with local contractors and building owners, all while keeping the focus on improving the lives of its members and their families throughout the DMV. For work that's on time and on budget, go to steamfitters-602.org to schedule your next project. That's steamfitters-602.org. Steamfitters Local 602, changing lives.
Explain your DNA on 10 cases, man.
You're inside the police interrogation room with the alleged Potomac River rapist.
I'm not guilty on any of this stuff.
So calm, so reasonable. Could this be the man who terrorized women for 9 years before murdering a brilliant scientist 2 decades ago? Experience one of the most fascinating true crime podcasts available. Join crime reporter Paul Wagner for Unknown Subject, Season 3 of WTOP's American Nightmare series. Search American Nightmare Podcast on all podcast platforms.
And before we go, New Year's resolutions. Love them? Leave them? What are you thinking, Megan Clardy?
Okay, well, I have a totally different take.
Whoa.
On a New Year's
resolution.
I'm
already surprised.
Yeah. Okay. not to change the approach here, but a couple of years ago, a girlfriend of mine said, I want to get together all of these badass women from, like, that I know.
Okay.
And we all hung out on New Year's Eve, which was awesome.
Whoa.
Which was really, really fun. And I got to meet people who I'd never met before who were in completely different walks of life. It was very neat. But her thing was, the host said, everyone has to go around. You don't necessarily have to share it, but consider a word instead of a resolution, a word for your next year.
I like that.
So you kind of take all the things that you are thinking about, hoping about, whatever,
yep,
and boil it down. And it's so much harder than, oh, I'm going to go to the gym, or yeah, I'm going to call my friends more. It does. And it makes you, I think it's the thought that you have to put into it,
mm-hmm,
that really makes it more of a commitment.
Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, this is my word. And maybe that doesn't, you know, and I remember I shared my word with one of my best friends, and she was like, no, it's not. That doesn't sound what you like, the word you're trying to describe. I'm like,
okay,
what would be a better word?
Oh, so you like work on it together?
Yeah, and we went around the group, and they were like, cool. "What about?" And I think somebody's was like, "Open."
I'm gonna
she
take that
to
this
be
year.
Open
I'm
for...
sorry, I don't know if that's your thing, but I'm gonna take that. That's good.
Isn't
that's
it good?
Yeah, because I think New Year's resolutions, they sometimes loom so large, and it's almost impossible. Like, you make this promise to yourself, you know, but then January 1st comes, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and you're like, man, whoa. But if you distill it down to a word that you can think about every day, one, you won't forget it, and two, you've kind of put in this pre-work to understand what you're actually doing for your New Year's resolution,
yep,
and then it makes it simple. I just think it gets too complicated most of the time, and so simplifying it could be really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, some people say, you know, write down your goal every single day because it won't leave your mind. And
yeah,
like the manifesting idea. Like,
totally,
if you just really focus on it, it'll make it happen.
Mm.
But the word thing, I don't know what it is. I really like that idea.
Yeah, language is powerful.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what, I mean, I'm not into resolutions, but I'm into words.
That's like a man, I don't even know what to call that. That's a word illusion.
That
I don't know.
It's like a mantra for your,
a mantra,
for your year.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's, I like that. I'm going to do a mantra instead of a resolution. I like that a lot. Wow. Well, yeah, I was not expecting that at all. That'll do it for us today on the DMV Town Load. We're brought to you by Steamfitters, Local 602.
We are, of course, on social media and would love to hear from you guys on there. You can become a VIP listener at dmvdownload.com.
The DMV Download is a product of WTOP News. Listen on 103.5 FM in the D.C. area, 107.7 FM in Virginia, 103.9 FM if you're driving around Frederick, Maryland, online at WTOP.com, and, of course, on the WTOP News app. Have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow.